In northern New England, there's more than four seasons a year. There's stick season, mud season, black fly season, and there's frost heave season. For many in New Hampshire, these perennial bumps in the road are more of a nuisance than a curiosity. But for others, frost heaves raise questions. For NHPR's Only in New Hampshire series, producer Justine Paradise has the story.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. Your questions answered, your state explored. I'm Virginia Prescott.
What did you print out for me?
Oh, well, somewhere I was reading about frost.
You may not expect to encounter poetry at the New Hampshire Department of Transportation, but when we visited Bill Boynton, Director of Public Information at the DOT, this week, we were exploring something that inspired him to read aloud from Robert Frost's classic poem, Mending Wall.
Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that sends the frozen ground swell under it, and spills the upper boulders in the sun, and makes gaps even two can pass abreast.
That something that we were after, and that Robert Frost describes as something there doesn't love a wall, has been given another name, a frost heave. No pun intended.
Well, they look like bumps in the road, round mounds in the road.
It's frost causing the road to heave up.
Frost is heaving.
When water gets cold, it turns into ice and expands. It's physics.
And we all know that when soil is saturated with water and then it freezes, it has to go somewhere and it goes up.
Anybody that drives on them knows what that feels like. The road literally heaves upward and has spots where it's a very rough ride, where your head can hit the ceiling of the vehicle.
It can be treacherous, and you can lose the whole bottom of your car if you hit one wrong and you're going too fast.
We've had a bitter cold start to this new year, so we've got a bit of an icy theme on the show today. And we're going to be spending a lot of it on the road, encountering those problematic, yet, as it turns out, surprisingly poetic speed bumps that we call frost heaves. Yeah, frost heaves. And no, we haven't run out of ideas. We're trying to answer this question from a listener named Jean for our Only in New Hampshire series. Now, Jean is originally from the Midwest, where there is plenty of cold, but she had never heard of a frost heave. So she asked us to find out where the term comes from and whether it is unique to New Hampshire. Producer Justine Paradise called her up.
So I moved to New Hampshire in 2012 in August. And as winter rolled around, my first winter on the East Coast, I started seeing signs for frost heaves. And that's something I'd never seen before. And then, of course, you know, driving on New Hampshire roads, you do experience them. I also bought a house in Nottingham last year, and I have a frost heave on my driveway.
Oh, do you really?
I do, yes. It's a very minimal bump, but I have noticed that, you know, it's something that seems to be exacerbated by the rapid thawing and freezing.
And yeah, what made you wonder or suspect, I guess, that the phenomenon was unique to New Hampshire? Because, yeah, what made you suspect that?
You know, it was funny. Your email prompted me to go back to Facebook, and I see that, you know, in December of 2012, I had posted a photo of one of these signs. And yeah, my friends and family from the Midwest and elsewhere kind of chimed in saying how unusual that was.
Ah.
Yeah, so I'd love to be able to go back to this Facebook post and update everybody about the origins of the term.
That was listener Jean Sokowowski, who got us started on this today and really got Word of Mouth producer Justine Paradise going. Hello, Justine.
Hi, Virginia. Thanks for having me in.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. So first of all, were you able to answer this question? What is the origin of the term frost heave?
So I have a theory. When I first got this question, I thought that the answer would be pretty easy, like because we have such a strong relationship with snow and ice, and that's something that affects daily life here for, you know, over half the year. But what I found was that even though there was a lot of research in frost heaves, scientific research in frost heaves, the term didn't really come up in older literature. So I thought that I would just try to find the very first instance of a mention of frost heaves. And I found this document, Historic Perspectives in Frost Heave Research, that assembled all of these, the numerous papers on frost heaves there are in the world, where there actually are quite a few. And the very first reference to it was in 1694 by this Swedish geologist and chemist, Urban Hjern. I don't actually speak Swedish, so I don't really know if I'm pronouncing this right.
We'll let that one go.
Urban Hjern in 1694, and he mentions this idea of earth heaving or earth shooting, and also of needle ice, which, have you ever gone hiking in an icy weather, mm-hmm. And seen the frozen ground around you? And there's this phenomenon that sometimes you see where you see sort of needle ice.
Oh, those sort of really thin little strands all packed together.
Yeah, it's kind of beautiful. It mm-hmm. looks almost like yarn or something. Or I mean, really like needles. It's very exquisite, and they are like little towers. And often they'll have little particles of soil on the top because they've pushed through the soil up and out. And that's actually a miniature example of frost heave. So he mentions that as well in this paper. But he doesn't refer to it as frost heave.
But heave is such a, you know, dramatic kind of word, the earth heaving upwards. Did you find any evidence or references to something like frost heaves from those early New England settlers, you know, the Puritans?
You know, not that I found, but what I did find when I was learning about frost heaves is the early settlers would have arrived to woods. And frost heaves are exacerbated when the land gets cleared because tree roots hold soil and rocks into place, so the ground contracts and expands as one. But when you clear the trees, as the ice lenses form under boulders and slowly push them up, they're more easily able to get loose and come up to the surface, and frost heaves are more possible and would have happened more frequently as land got developed. I kind of picture it like seltzer water, like boulders bubbling up from the earth. But really, when things started to change, I think, was when highways and roads started to get paved over and cars started to pass over these roads. And it was right around when Robert Frost wrote Mending Wall in 1914 that started to happen. And there was a lot of interest in road paving and in highways and research being invested into it. There were a bunch of highway magazines that began. And in the Good Roads Journal around 1915, there's reference to frost action and when frost leaves or enters the ground. So we're getting closer and closer to this term. And finally, this seminal paper is published in 1929 by this guy named Stephen Tabor, a professor at the University of South Carolina, and it's called Frost Heaving. And from then on, I think people refer to it as frost heaves, and this is my theory. Because that's when I see the strongest example. And from then on, people just refer to it as frost heaves in all the literature.
But like the question that was asked, we don't see signs for frost heaves in other places. I mean, why did New Hampshire adopt it? Do you have any idea?
You know, I wanted to check to see if really it was just in New Hampshire. And my first instinct was probably not. You know, this is a phenomenon that wherever it's cold, you're going to have this happening. And frost heave has been documented on Mars when the Phoenix lander landed in 2008. They landed on a frost heave site. So anyhow, it is more than global. It's extraterrestrial as well. But I still thought that maybe there was something about New Hampshire that is specific because we do have all of those signs. And, you know, when Jean posted this to Facebook, like she mentioned, her friends and family said how unusual it was. So I called the Minnesota Department of Transportation, and when I called them, the guy I talked to had actually never heard of frost heaves.
You're kidding, in Minnesota?
I know. And
with all that Swedish heritage?
I know. And eventually, as we were talking, he said, we do experience that sometimes, but we mostly experience these other phenomena, pavement buckling that happens in the summer. There's a whole world of highway problems, so we don't have to go too far into that.
But is there something about the geology of New Hampshire that is different than Minnesota that makes frost heaves possible?
I actually think the best way to answer that question is to get out there into the natural habitat of frost heaves and get on the road.
Hit it.
Before I knew it, I was winding my way down the back roads of the Lake District, passing signs for fresh eggs and the occasional ancient sugar maple by a classic red barn. I'd headed up towards Holderness, where I'd heard I might find some frost heaves. And it's actually the stomping grounds of a scholar of New Hampshire's roads.
So my middle name is Tink, T-I-N-K, Malcolm Tink Taylor.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
My grandfather gave it to me. He was British, and it comes from the old British poem, Tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor, poor man, beggar man. So Tinker got dropped to Tink somewhere when I was about 3 and have not been able to shake it.
Tink is officially retired now, but he's had a long career in policy and transportation. He served in the legislature, he was town meeting moderator where he lives in Holderness, and he still serves on local and state transportation planning committees.
Very interested in rail and in transportation in general. Those are sort of my first loves, and I still spend a lot of time doing that.
His work with transportation and planning is clearly more than just a job for him. If I'm a novice Frosteve hunter, Tink Taylor is a professional.
I have some photographs of Frosties you would not believe. I carry this little Mickey Mouse camera with me everywhere I go, and I see a real bad Frostie. If I jump out, my wife puts on the double flashes, and she looks both ways, and I get out on the road, and I get down low, and I take a picture of it, and I show it to people, and they just say, oh, it can't be that bad. And they do look very dramatic when you get down at the same level of an automobile. It's one thing to stand up and shoot down, and I've got pictures of Frosties with water bubbling out of the ground, and there's one picture I have that shows a frost heave, and sometimes I'll wait until a car comes along, and I have this car going over the frost heave, and then the car stops, and the driver gets out. He's down on his hands and knees looking under his car, all of which reminds me of the guy at the body shop. Saying, oh, yes. Yeah, that's a real problem.
So we got a listener question. How and when did the term frost heaves originate, and is the phenomenon unique to New Hampshire? You know, it's sort of clear that it's not unique to New Hampshire, but could it be worse in New Hampshire than in other regions, I'm wondering?
So I can't give you the exact derivation of it, but it pretty well describes the phenomenon. It pretty well tells you what's happening. Frost is heaving. And we all know that when soil is saturated with water and then it freezes, it has to go somewhere and it goes up. And so the frost heaves occur on highways, and occur on as you enter into a bridge. And in the old days, some may even remember when the highways were made out of concrete, and they were made in sections, slabs of concrete. And every time you went from one to the other, you went ka-thump, ka-thump, ka-thump. And in a way, that was a little bit of frost heaving, because one slab would heave and the other slab next to it wouldn't, because there wasn't enough moisture under it. So even today, you can be driving over a blacktop highway, and you can still hear the ker-thump, ker-thump, because they've laid the blacktop over concrete slabs.
Well, I guess I'm curious, why do you think that someone might think that the phenomenon is unique to New Hampshire, that the frost heaves are unique to New Hampshire?
Well, they probably haven't driven Vermont this time of the year. They haven't driven in Maine during the dead of winter. Mm. We have friends live in Minnesota. They have some problem there, but the terrain is a little different. When you move out of northern New England, you get terrain that is sort of straight away, flat. But when you get into New Hampshire and into Vermont, you've got these craggy old mountains and exposed ledge, and you've got a lot of subterranean water sources. We have a lot of water in New Hampshire, and a lot of it is underground, and a lot of it is traveling underground. And that's what contributes to the heaving. So the lay of the land, I think, is a lot to say about it. I think the kinds of repairs they're doing and how rapidly they do the repairs are probably the difference between the state. New Hampshire is always struggling to catch up. It's always a struggle to try to catch up with needed maintenance.
Well, you talked a little bit about sort of the history of New Hampshire roads. Like, some of them must be really old.
Oh, yes, and many of them follow the ancient Indian trails.
So if you dug down, you'd find...
You don't know what you're going to find. You might find old wheels. You might find some logs. They were laid down centuries ago, and today we follow the same winding path up and down and dipsy doodles in and out and around. And there's a reluctance to straighten them out. What you need is you need permeable layers of crushed stone and gravel, and even sand in some cases, that allows the moisture to drain away from the road. But what happens is, under so many of our highways, the moisture is trapped. It can't go anywhere. The best-built roads are built from the bottom up. You don't build highways from the top down. You build them from the bottom up.
But it's expensive to rebuild a road from the bottom up. So instead, Tink Taylor says that as a temporary fix, repair crews will often lay a thin layer of asphalt or a shim coat over the damage.
It's so pretty out here. The sun is setting, and it's like sort of lemony yellow through the trees, which are all bare.
As I drive deeper into the woods of the Lakes District, continuing on my quest in pursuit of the wild frost heave, I start to think that maybe I'm driving down one of the roads that Tink Taylor mentioned. Because even though I can see evidence of repairs, I'm still feeling some echoes of frost heave's past.
All right. Yeah, this is pretty uneven, and I can see that there's... Ooh! The bumpiness has knocked some ice off the top of the car. She's now falling.
I wondered, just how expensive is it to fully repair a road, do the job once and for all, and rebuild it from the bottom up? I asked Bill Boynton, reader of Robert Frost and director of public information at the New Hampshire Department of Transportation.
Well, when we talk about maintaining and preserving roads, you can spend $50,000 to $100,000 to resurface or pave a road and keep it in good condition. Once it fails, you're looking at $1 million a mile in order to rebuild a road, in some cases even more.
$50,000 to $100,000 to fix a mile of okay road versus $1 million to completely redo a failed road. That is a huge difference, 10 to 20 times more expensive.
When you're talking 4,600 miles of state road, that's a pretty prohibitive price tag when we're trying to keep the existing system operating with roads and bridges. So, while we oftentimes will go in and rebuild certain corridors, major corridors, to try to improve them, a lot of the secondary roads, we have 900 miles of unnumbered state roads. A lot of those roads are going to basically remain in that type of condition, at least under the surface, indefinitely, as we try to at least maintain a good riding surface.
But there's still the question of the signs for frost heave that Gene saw. So I called around and I learned that New Hampshire is not the only state to post signs for frost heave. Minnesota doesn't do it because they don't really have that issue. But in Vermont, at least, the state posts signs that warn against both frost heaves and a more general bump. So we're not the only ones. But while I'm at the New Hampshire Department of Transportation, Bill's colleague Caleb Dobbins, who's New Hampshire's state highway maintenance engineer, pokes his head in for a bit. And I can't resist asking him.
How many signs do you put out every year?
Oh, that's a number I couldn't even count. We look at the severity of the frost heave and how numerous they are in a specific spot. I mean, there is not a frost heave sign for every frost heave in New Hampshire on the state roads. We would run out of time and signs for sure.
Would it be in the hundreds, the thousands?
Oh, I would say easily in the thousands.
One answer I give to people about, you know, why does New Hampshire, again, have so many, and it gets back to that fluctuating around the freezing degree mark. I grew up in northern Maine, and it wasn't unusual to be 20 below for weeks at a time, and it was very unusual to have conditions, spring-like conditions, in January or February. So if it's frozen all the time or not fluctuating, then you're less likely to get this phenomena where you're getting the freeze-thaw cycle and the disruption under the surface of the road. So whether it's our geography or our history and our climate, all of those lend themselves to being a haven for frost heaves.
So the combination of moody New England temperatures, old roads, craggy geology, and highway costs all suggest a certain inevitability when it comes to frost heaves. But it's one thing to say frost heaves are inevitable. I want to know what it's like to live with it. So I pay a visit to Don Brown at the Corner House Inn, a restaurant and pub in Center Sandwich.
Hey, Don, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It's a cozy spot with a hint of the upscale, and we sit down in one of the dining rooms while Don lights a fire.
Okay, is that a little propane fireplace?
Yeah. It's a real fireplace, but we put propane logs in it a few years back.
To get to the Corner House, you typically have to drive down Route 113. A hilly, winding, and often frost-heave-ridden road. I probably took it around 30 miles an hour and still experienced a little turbulence. But Don says that just a couple years ago, it was in worse shape.
Anytime you ran into virtually anyone, whether it was at the post office or at the coffee shop, I mean, that was just the conversation that everyone was talking about. used to refer to it almost similar to mogul skiing, because you had to drive around all these big frost heaves just like you were going down a course.
Don's been running the corner house for 37 years in Sandwich, so he's no stranger to the New England seasons. But this was different.
Usually frost heaves appear around February and they last for a month or so, and then they eventually go away as the ground thaws. And what had happened is that the roads had taken such a beating over the years and were lacking the necessary maintenance. So those frost heave conditions existed year round.
Don's restaurant, like a lot of businesses in the Lake District, is seasonal. He relies on the extra revenue from summer visitors. So when customers started remarking on the bumpy roads in July, he got worried.
They just couldn't believe it, and they'd say, oh my gosh, what's going on with your roads? You know, we're not coming back because it's just beating up our cars too much.
Do you think people really didn't come back because of the frost heaves?
I think it gave them reason to think twice about heading our direction, sure. I mean, there's a lot of options for people these days, so if you give them any reason at all to think twice about coming, it's not a good thing.
The worst of this was a couple years ago, and Don says that since then, the DOT has fixed up some of the roads. But again, not in that bottom-up, long-term way. The roads might be in better shape now, but the question is, how long will that last?
Too fast.
It's dark as I leave the corner house and set off back west towards the smooth tarmac of 93. And the drive does feel a little longer this time as I wind my way through the hills by my headlights. And I notice something that I didn't before.
All right, coming to the end of the road. See the lights of Holderness. All right. And at the end of that drive is an auto repair shop.
Moral of the story, where there are frost heaves, there are auto repair shops, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Justine, you went much deeper into frost heaves than I have ever gone. So first of all, thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
But part of your interest originally was about the language, calling something a frost heave, which is, I guess, happens pretty much only here in New Hampshire. So what did you come up with there?
Yeah, well, I think the word is really poetic to me, and I think part of the reason that I'm interested in this is the more specific you get about vocabulary, about landscape, I think there's sometimes a relationship between naming something and knowing it. You can liken it to color, where if you look at a sky, there's the sky is blue, but you can get more specific and say, oh, that's all of these different shades of blue. So this is actually an idea that I got from reading Robert McFarlane's book, Landmarks. Robert McFarlane is this British author. He writes about words and landscape. And what he did was he gathered all of these tiny little landscape words from all over England that came from these little hamlets and counties all over the place. Like, for instance, there are all these different words for icicle all over the British Isles that are so evocative and beautiful and poetic.
What are some of them?
Well, I'll open it up and tell you. For instance, aquabob is used in Kent for icicle. Clinkerbell and dagler in Wessex.
Oh, clinkerbell?
Clinkerbell. Cancervell in Exmoor. Ickle in Yorkshire, and a couple others, Tankle in Durham and Shuckle in Cumbria.
Those are kind of sweet words.
Yeah. And
they're
so
cute.
They are. And, you know, I thought that I wondered what it meant that frost heave is something that we relate to so much in New Hampshire, even though it's not the only place you find them. It is a place that really identifies with them. And I thought that maybe it had something to do with the fact that we're able to live with something that's like a little imperfect. That's something that we can endure here.
Well, that's such a New England thing in a way, right? That the thing that is the obstacle, you just kind of ride over it. Or the old barn that's falling in your property, you just let it go.
Yeah, and you kind of celebrate it or make a joke of it. So I ended up reaching out to Robert McFarlane because he's on Twitter. And I asked him, because he's this gatherer of words and specific vocabulary and ice terms, I thought he would know what the origin of frost heaves might be. And he had never heard of it.
And that's producer Justine Paradise coming to the end of the Frost Heaven Road.